Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we are chatting with Adele Seitzinger. And Adele is the owner of Threads, and she specializes in silk art. Hi, Adele. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I'm so glad to have you. So when we say silk art, go ahead and tell me what that is.
I start with white silk.
Okay.
And I color it. And so I'll buy different kinds of blanks. Sometimes they're scarves, sometimes they're ponchos. It could be a necktie, a bow tie. And I apply silk dyes, which are dyes that are specifically designed for silk. And a lot of them come from France. And I paint with the dyes the way you might paint with watercolors on paper. I paint with the dyes on silk.
So do you use a brush? How do you get the...
I do. Mm-hmm. I use a brush. There's a big process that you go through, but the dyes are actually applied by brush.
Okay. Well, we're going to cover the process. So I see you're wearing one right now, and it's so beautiful.
Well, thank you.
And it matches your shirt. It's turquoise, and I call it like a mauve color.
Yes.
So when you're creating these pieces, are you taking in like color coordinating? Is that all taken into consideration, like complementary colors?
Yes. I've been an artist most of my life, and I've studied art for a lot of years, and so I have a lot of color theory in my skill set.
Yeah.
And so that all comes into play as I'm applying the colors.
It absolutely does.
And I try to think about what people really like. There's some colors that I've experienced don't sell so well, so I kind of steer away from those, and then there's others that... Seems like every time I make a scarf in that color, it's gone. So if you look at my inventory, you never see that color because it's always gone.
So what would that color be? What do you think the most popular color is?
Generally blues.
Blues.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Turquoise, navy.
I find that with my paintings, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like my blue paintings, anything I do in blue or turquoise, it's like gone.
Yeah.
But then I have different color combinations that I really like that I don't know if people like them as much, but like what are some of your color combinations that you use that you would think that don't sell as much?
Well, it seems like I end up with a lot of greens and oranges, and they don't seem quite as popular, but I like them. So I use them, and I feel like I can't just do what people want.
No, you can't.
I mean, I know I'm in it as a business.
Yeah.
But I have to be free to use what I want to do.
You do.
The colors that I like.
And that's part of your style, you know, because you have a lot of silk artists out there. But I think what separates you from everyone else is your choice of color combinations. And you can't, when you do art, you really can't do it for other people. You've got to do it for yourself or else it just doesn't quite feel right, does it?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. Mm-hmm. And another thing you could, you know, tell people is that, different skin tones go really well with certain colors. And even though they may not like orange, for me, I have warm skin tones. So orange and yellows and like olive greens, they just look good with my skin tones.
Right. Like the yellow that you're wearing.
Yeah, the yellow that I'm wearing. Uh-huh. And I pick my clothes according to my skin tone. So I think a lot of people don't. I didn't realize that until like maybe a year ago about skin tones and how different colors coordinate. So you could educate yourself on the skin tones and then sell your products better.
Good idea.
Yeah, I'm just here to help. So you say that you were always into art. How old were you when you started with the silk making?
Well, I started the silk making 5-8 years ago, I would say. But I've done art all my life. And I've done all different kinds of stuff. I've painted, I've done pottery, I've been a weaver, I've just done everything. I studied art education, and so in learning art education, you know, I had to try out every kind of media.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just been the last few years that I really have focused on silk.
Is silk your favorite form of art?
It is.
Okay.
I would have to say that now it really is. The more I've explored it and opportunities I've had to go to workshops, and I just love it. I love the color, and I love seeing the way what the silk, the dyes do on the silk. Just it's exciting to watch it and see it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And so do you ever dabble in any other types of art right now besides the silk art, or are you exclusively doing silk art?
Not exclusively. I teach a lot of classes. And a lot of times, if the class is small, I'll work along with the student. So I've done some, recently I've done some acrylic painting. I like to do watercolors. So yeah, I do other things, but generally when I am feeling like I want to be creative, then I go to my silk studio.
Coming up, we'll continue our discussion as the scene continues here on Light Rock 95.9. Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we are chatting with Susan DeMay of Made by DeMay Ceramics. Hi, Susan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So what is the creative process when you are working with slab? Just run me through that, like if you're making a piece.
Well, I look at architecture. I look at my friend's work. I look at other art forms, or I look at historical ceramics. Like there's a school of art and design called the Memphis style, and it's very contemporary, and it's rather asymmetrical, and it uses this bright colors, and it usually is focused on furniture being sculptural or glassworks being sculptural. So I look to that as a source of inspiration. I also like some of the things I see in steampunk, which is a kind of trend, and it incorporates nature and industrial aesthetics together. So I look to the outside world for inspiration in those types of wares.
And then how do you create what you're doing?
Well, I have a slab roller, which looks a little bit like a wringer washer, not that maybe everybody knows mm-hmm. what that is, yeah. But it's two rollers, and you push a flat piece of clay through the rollers to get a perfectly even slab. And you can do the piece pretty large, and I usually do a very large piece, and my slab constructions are a little bit larger than the typical vessel shape and size. And then I use templates sometimes, or I wrap it around a roller, or I press it into a mold. And from there, I incorporate textures and various appendages.
Okay. And then you paint it?
Well, people have a misconception about how glazes are applied. I do very little painting of glazes. I do mostly, like, for the inside, I'll pour in a large cupful and swirl it around and then pour it out, covering the whole interior. And then the outside might be dipped if the bucket is big enough, or it might be splashed, or it might be poured, and then maybe some of the details are brushed. But on my production wares, most of those designs are created through pouring and wax resist. Mm. So I'll do a glaze background, do a wax pattern on top of it, and then do a second glaze over that. That's how the flowers are done, and that's how the trees are done in my landscape.
I always thought it was brushwork. See?
Yeah, no, really, it's very little brushwork. Mm.
It's interesting.
With brushwork, you don't get a nice even coat. Mm. You see the splotchiness of the brush strokes.
Gotcha.
With pouring, you get a nice even coat.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Well, we appreciate you coming out today. It was a pleasure talking to you, and I'd love to hear your story and get to know you better. So thank you so much.
All right. My pleasure.
Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we are chatting with Adele Seitzinger. And Adele is the owner of Threads, and she specializes in silk art. What are some of the tools that you use to create your silk scarves?
Well, I usually buy the silk already hemmed and already prepared, but it's just white. It's sort of like an artist buys a white canvas. So instead of buying a canvas, mm-hmm. I'm buying a silk blank. So I have that, and then I have a palette that I mix the colors on. And, of course, I have the different dyes, and they're generally French dyes. And I have the brushes. I have a stretcher frame. The silk has to be stretched and kept taut while you're painting on it. And I have a steamer because the dyes have to be set, so I have a steamer. So there's
got quite a few tools that you're working with.
Mm-hmm.
Are you, when you buy those dyes, are you ever mixing them to create your own colors?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I just, even though there are other colors available, I just use the primaries and black.
Mm-hmm.
And so any other color I want, I have to mix.
Yeah.
So like this purple, I didn't have a purple dye. I had to mix the red and the blue together.
Is the blue in that purple the same blue that I see on your scarf, or was it a different blue?
I believe it was the same blue.
Just curious, because it goes well together.
Mm-hmm.
So
So it had a little bit of that mm-hmm. in it.
Yeah, so then it just kind of, it works well together. And would you brand your style of art, or how would you?
I usually just say it's wearable
mm-hmm.
art, although I do some things that are for the home, wall pieces, lampshades.
Have you ever done a set of curtains?
I haven't. That's a good idea.
Right? I just thought about that.
Yeah.
That would be fabulous. You mm-hmm. could do your own curtains first.
Yes.
Then take some photos, post on Facebook, and all of a sudden now you have a completely different business and you can't keep up with the orders.
And there we go.
And you're famous overnight.
And I'll owe it all to Emily.
Yeah. This interview, it'll be monumental. What are some of your favorite creations that you've made and why?
I really like working with Wax Resist, because it gives me kind of a freedom of expression, and it's very energetic and immediate. One time I did a workshop where I dyed yardage with several layers. It was a batik kind of technique, so I had several layers of wax and then dye and wax and then dye.
Wow.
And I did yardage, and then we cut out a shirt without using any pattern and from that fabric. And so I've got this beautiful shirt that I made, and
yeah.
that I did from white silk all the way through to wearability.
And wow. So do you wear it often?
I especially wear it when I'm doing shows or or going to fairs or that kind of thing. But yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Because it's got my favorite color, turquoise, in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And purple sure. and pink, and it's
yeah.
real pretty.
Yeah, that sounds beautiful. And so, when you do commissions?
I haven't really done many because generally my stuff is, well, as your paintings are, they're kind mm-hmm. of one of a kind.
Yeah.
But there have been a couple, and what I'll do is I'll ask the person, well, what are you looking for? What size? What colors do you want? And I'll show them stuff that I've done and said, is it something like this? And that's usually the takeoff point. So it's generally a variation of something I've already done.
More of our conversation is coming up on the scene here on Light Rock 95.9. Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we're chatting with Bryce McDonald, the producing director and CEO of the Cumberland County Playhouse. And I'm actually here at the Cumberland County Playhouse, and I have Bryce with me today. Hi, Bryce. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. So I want to talk to you about how you got your start in theater, and then we'll touch base on how you got to where you are now.
Well, I grew up in Overton County, so this is home for me. And I am the baby of three, and my older brothers were a football star and a basketball star, and I like to sing and dance in the front yard. So I got involved in church plays and school stuff and thought, this is what I want to do, but how in the world am I going to do it here in Tennessee? And in the fourth grade, I took a school trip to come see Annie here at the Cumberland County Playhouse. I could still tell you the seat that I sat in that theater, and it changed my life. I found my tribe. I found people that I just felt like, this is where I fit in. I don't really fit in anywhere else, but I feel at home here. So I made it my goal to do everything I could to get here. So I saw every show possibly. I drove my parents crazy to bring me here. I begged when I was able to drive at 16 that this is the only place I wanted to drive to. I wouldn't have to ride the bus. I would ride the bus to school if I could drive on the weekends to see shows. And then at 18, I kept pushing and pushing to get in here, and I got an internship audition, and they were kind enough to cast me in a show, and I started dancing. For the company, I was a tumbler. I could do gymnastics when I was younger, so there was a need for that in a couple of productions, so that was kind of my in. And I met Abby Crabtree, who was one of the directors and former artistic director here at the Playhouse, and she took a liking to me and brought me in, and I started doing shows, and then I stayed for 10 years and had the best possible training you could ever have, because it was immediate and hands-on. It wasn't in a book. It wasn't like, well, here's what could happen. It was like, oh, it's happening. You better be able to fix it. And I went on from performing to stage management, assisting the producer, because I took a real – I started doing stage management because I got hurt in a show, and I couldn't do the show anymore, but I could assist backstage, and I fell in love with that and thought, I don't really want to perform anymore. This is where I want to do. And from that management, the producing director said, I need an assistant. Why don't you come and do some of that stuff with me? And I said, sure, and jumped in and just fell in love with it. It was like, this is what I want to do. I want to be behind the scenes to create the art that changes lives, because it changed my life. And so my rule of thumb is that in every audience, there is another Bryce. There's another fourth grader waiting to find that tribe, waiting to find someone to say, I get you, and I can bring you in. And so that's kind of, you know, I spent 10 years here from 18 until 29, living the best life, going through all the emotions you go through in that those 20s, learning so much, and decided I wanted to move to New York and spread my wings and give it a try. And so I moved to New York with $2,000 in my pocket and a U-Haul full of stuff, and subletted an apartment from a friend, and was blessed enough with what I had learned here and made the right connections. I spent 10 years in New York working on Broadway and off-Broadway as a stage manager. If you would have told fourth grade me that I would be at the Tony Awards because a show I was working on was nominated, I would have told you I was crazy. But I was fortunate enough that that happened to me 3 times, and met some of the best friends of my life while working here. And then the producing director at the time, Jim Crabtree, who was a mentor and a father figure to me, said, I'm ready to think about my retirement. I want to put you and a team into place to suggest to the board, and I would love for you to come home. Will you give up New York and come home? And I said, without a doubt.
Wow, that's really amazing. Well, thank you so much, Bryce, producing director and CEO of the Cumberland County Playhouse. Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we are chatting with Adele Seitzinger. And Adele is the owner of Threads, and she specializes in silk art. What would the process be just involving a commissioned piece? Like, do you only do scarves, or would you do something else?
Oh, I also do ponchos, serapes,
nice.
Shawls, men's neckties, and
yeah, I was going to ask you about neckties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also do fans and sun catchers.
Yeah.
And so I have actually, now that I think about it, people have asked me to do specific sun catchers before.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah,
for sure. And I bet they just love them.
Yes. And they're nice. They're a little piece that, you know, maybe people don't wear scarves, but they love my art. And so the sun catchers are very popular.
Yeah, I did a show with you at the Biz Foundry. Was that what I was seeing on the table? Those little small pieces?
Yes.
And some of them were birds.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they just look great in the window with the light shining through those bright colors.
Yeah, I bet they do.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of your favorite designs to do on those sun catchers?
I like to do birds. Mm-hmm. The birds are really nice. And I've done some sailboats and some lighthouses. And I've always loved doing flowers, so I'll do flowers on them.
Do you have a favorite bird?
Probably maybe cardinal.
Yeah. Do you like the male or the female? Does it matter?
Oh, well, the male's the colorful one.
I know. Isn't he just beautiful?
Yes.
But the female, she's got that gorgeous bright beak,
mm-hmm.
and she's got some color in her feathers.
That's true. That's true.
I have a bird obsession.
Ah.
I really like birds a lot.
I've also always liked chickadees.
Yeah.
Not nearly as colorful.
No, they're not.
They're sweet little birds.
They're sweet, and they have such a personality to them, don't they?
Yes.
And they make a couple different sounds, and they're just funny.
Yeah.
They're just like, they're real, I don't know, they're real peppy. I don't know how to describe them. They're just kind of silly.
I agree. Yes.
And, we're getting onto birds. I like blue jays as well.
Oh, yes. They're such a big bird. I was surprised at how big they are.
They're huge and they're just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Since you like blue, you would like blue jays,
well,
right?
I know that I think maybe my Blue Jay is the one that sold at.
I saw one of them was missing, and mm-hmm. I was like, which one went? That was it. That was it, the Blue Jay.
Yeah.
And then I have a thing for, I think my favorite Tennessee bird is the red-bellied woodpecker.
Oh, yes.
I'm just fascinated with those. Mm-hmm. I've got some suet bards out, and they come out and just attack them. So I see in the scarf that you have on now, it's kind of got like white specks. How did you get that effect?
White is just where there wasn't any dye.
Well, so because I see it like it's throughout, mm-hmm. it's throughout the whole. So was that intentional?
Yes, okay. It was. This was done. I kind of did a fan fold.
Mm-hmm.
So this one wasn't stretched. This was more like what people would know of as tie dye. It's not exactly the same process, but it's kind of like more like a tie dye. So you can see where it was fan folded. You can probably see the lines. And so what I did is I fan folded it, and then I clipped it where the white is
mm-hmm.
with clothespins. And then I put applied dye, the turquoise on one side, and I applied the mauve-y purple on the other side.
You know what it looks like to me? It looks like cherry blossoms over water.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I like that.
That's what I'm seeing in it. It looks like there's some cherry blossoms, and they're just hanging out over the water. Last question, where can we find your work?
You can find it online. I have different places online. I have a Facebook page that's called Threads Art.
Mm-hmm.
And
you spell that with a Z?
Yes. Uh-huh. Threads Art. And I have an Etsy page, too, that's also Threads Art.
Okay.
Another thing is I teach a lot of art classes at, unfortunately, where we are right now, I'm not teaching, but at the Cookeville Art Studio and Gallery, which is in Cookeville, of course, and they share the building with the Senior Citizen Center on Walnut.
Mm-hmm.
And I have classes for all ages. On Monday afternoons from 4 to 6, I teach children's classes, first grade through eighth grade. On Wednesdays from noon to 2, I have an adult class. High schoolers can come to it, but it's generally adults. And then that same, also on Wednesdays from 3:30 to 5:30, I offer a class that's exclusively for high schoolers, and we have it scheduled, so it's right after school, but we try to get them out in case they want to go to youth group.
Fabulous. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Adele. We appreciate it.
Well, it's been my pleasure.
Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we're chatting with Justin Hurst of Journeyman Marble Works. That kind of rhymes. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. Thank you so much for coming out and interviewing with us. So you specialize in blown glass marbles. Is that how you would describe it, or would you describe it differently?
It's borosilicate lamp working, but it's still a form of glass blowing.
All right. It's so you brought some here today to the studio, and I'm absolutely amazed with these. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this before. They're incredibly beautiful. They are marbles, but then like with blown glass designs inside, and they're fantastic. You even have a kaleidoscope here, which is I don't know how other to describe it than absolutely mind blowing. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
When did you get a start working with glass? Where did that happen?
Kind of led into, originally I was a machinist, and that's where the Journeyman name came from, but it started about eight or nine years ago. I would just play with a little hothead torch and just melt little broken pieces of glass that I found and did little beads and stuff on arc welding rods, and it stuck with me.
Did you receive training anywhere? Did you have like an apprentice? No, you just were like, I'm going to get things really hot and make shapes with them and things like that?
Yeah, originally I was a journeyman machinist, and I paid my way through trade school at 16. And by the time I was about 21, I had an ex-fiance put me about $30,000 in debt.
Uh-oh.
Lost everything, homeless for a little while, and it just completely changed my perspective on the world.
Yeah.
So
you're like, now I'm just going to be an artist and do what I want to do.
Yeah, it was just something I was doing in spare time. And once I started getting to the point of where I was comfortable selling some of it, then I just went with it. And I've been doing that mostly full time for about 8 years now.
How can I find your work? If I want to get something online from you, where would I go?
I have a website that's Journeyman Marble Works with an X, and that's .com. And then I have a Facebook page and an Instagram page.
Awesome. Are you going to look into selling in any other online avenues, or does Instagram and Facebook work pretty well for you?
I'll pretty much just keep it at that.
And yeah.
I have the page just to help with sales, because mm-hmm. taking care of Grandpa is a full-time job as it is.
Well, so. Good. Good for you. These marbles would add some serious value to your life if you purchase one of these. They're absolutely gorgeous. And every time you look at them, you see something new, and they have a lot of dimension and depth, and they're just like my mind is blown. They're wonderful.
Thank you.
Thanks, Justin. I appreciate you coming out today.
Appreciation's appreciated.